The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
My darlings, and welcome back to Radio Wasteland, your preeminent local awesome show about stuff that's weird. We need a catchphrase.
That's our tagline. No, yeah. you just found it. You've hit gold, Chauncey.
All right, I'm going to have to listen back, though. I'm your host, Chauncey Allworth, and this is our other host, Sean.
Hello.
How are you doing this week, Sean?
I'm okay. I'm kind of weird today, actually.
As opposed to...
Okay, I should have thought about how that sounded before I said that, to be honest. So, as I mentioned last week, I've been doing this D&D game for all these vampires, right?
Right.
And so I've also just been on, you know, their forums, just reading all their stories and drama and stuff, because it's really interesting. And I actually, knowing some of these people and thinking that they're reasonable people, like, I think it's a real thing. I think there are some people who, for whatever reason, have this compulsion to drink human blood. And, you know, it's a thing in cultures all across history and all of that kind of thing. And reading about that is honestly kind of, like, disturbing. It's not like they are scary, but, like, the symptoms are kind of scary. Like, a lot of these people are struggling with looking at friends and loved ones and seeing food, you know.
Really?
And that's freaky. You know, that would be a hard thing to live with. So anyway, I've got all this rattling around in my subconscious, right? And I don't have a lot of nightmares. But when I do have nightmares, it's like the bacteria that the penicillin didn't kill, and it became a pandemic and wiped out Southeast Asia, you know. It's that kind of nightmare. It's just a horror show. Mm. So I'm launched into this Dante's Inferno with a dash of Bram Stoker stuff, and it seems to last for, like, days. It's all five senses. It's touch, taste, everything. It's one of those crazy dreams. And not only is it just violent and viscerally upsetting, but it's also, like, calculated to probe at my emotional vulnerabilities and unravel my sense of self and just drive me mad, generally. So
I gotta tell you, this is all getting very abstract, poetic.
Right.
I'm very confused. What happened to you?
Well,
You had a traumatizing nightmare from your D&D group?
Yes. So, yeah, so this is all... Point is, it was a long, scary, you know, dream that is hard to, like, even...
Right.
Like, yeah. If I just described it, it wouldn't even get at it. So, I'm just not going to bother. Plus, who wants to hear about dreams? Anyway, so I wake up, and I'm like, okay, we're good. Everyone's good. I've been here all night. You know, nothing bad happened. Mm. And so I go to take a shower, you know, try and wake up. But what I didn't know was that, like, a cut had opened up on my lip during the night, or I'd bitten my lip or something. So I get into the bathroom, and I see in the mirror that my mouth and chin are just, like, smeared with dried blood. I look like I've been hunting deer with timber wolves. You know, so I'm just like, oh, that is not cool. That is a cheap shot on the part of the universe.
That's like...
to have that follow me, like, just a little bit into the real world.
Yeah, that's like...
So that's how I woke up this morning, and I've been
funny. That's
discombobulated,
like,
all day.
What's that movie? American Werewolf in London, where he keeps having the dreams that he's going out and
it's
eating.
Exactly like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, well, that's terrifying. So that's kind of what the dream was like, and so I'm there, and it's just like, no. This is... I'm just going back to bed. Let's start this day over tomorrow.
That's funny.
But anyway, that's me.
Well, my week has entailed... So, my dream is that, you know, once the kids are finished cooking, that my wife and I will move away and we'll get a chunk of land someplace with a...
Right.
with a small house on it. And
with your child casserole. Keep you company.
Right. So I'm a big fan of doomsday prepping.
Sure.
But I don't actually do it.
Okay.
And I also don't think doomsday is coming.
Right.
So I came up with this thing that I want to doomsday prep recreationally, but for but for retirement.
Actually, that's practical. You know, people
so I
want to
do all the stuff that doomsday preppers do, but just so I can retire and know that I'm all right.
Yeah.
So one thing that I've always wanted is a greenhouse, and my wife bought me this like small greenhouse to go on my back porch. And I've got some plants in there, and I'm growing some plants. I got two peppers, a couple of cilantros, and some basils. You know, I'm starting out baby, you know, I mean.
So you're set.
yeah, totally. I'm ready.
I'm just going to eat homemade pesto.
yeah.
Well, you don't have olive oil. So
well, I mean, you know, I live in an apartment, you know, so it's like I gotta work with that.
Yeah, that's true.
But I'm pretty excited about the fact that I'm learning to grow stuff.
You know, I actually heard a story on the radio the other day. I forget what it was, but it was essentially lots of people are doomsday prepping for, like, financial disaster. Mm-hmm. You know, lots of people
who, that's kind of what I'm thinking,
who were burned during the recession are just like, okay, now if anything goes seriously wrong, I have all this dried food.
Right.
You know, I'm not going to go hungry, at least.
I got bags upon bags of Jim Baker's protein mush.
Right.
Right.
And, you know, tools and camping equipment and all kinds of
stuff. Yeah, I'm totally down with that. That's exactly what I want.
Yeah, that seems, that just seems smart to me, honestly.
And, you know, so we're looking to buying a chunk of land, maybe Auburn, you know, and putting up a small house for us and a tiny home for my daughter. And we'll live there.
Yeah.
Grow some herbs.
Grow some herbs. Yeah, grow some not herbs, too. Maybe some real food.
Yeah, like cows.
Cows, yes. Exactly.
Some cows. Yeah, yeah.
You just water them. They
also, this week was my wife's birthday. She's not really shy of her age. She turned 43. The funny part is that all last year she thought she was 43. So even to the point where her last birthday party before this one, she had invited on Facebook a bunch of people to her 43rd birthday party. So this year was kind of sweet in the fact that she really didn't feel
you
like she gained a year.
You have a birthday without getting older at
right,
all.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I think she could take that a step further and just keep doing her 43rd birthday. Just
totally.
Indefinitely.
For the rest of time.
Yeah, exactly.
If she looks young, she could pull it off for quite some time.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But she also acts young. It was a unicorn party. Everything was unicorns. The party hats were unicorns, unicorn balloons, unicorns everywhere, unicorn fake tattoos.
I have to say, you went into a little bit of a thousand-yard stare right before you said unicorn party.
Yeah.
Our listeners can't see that, but I just have to point that out because it was pretty funny.
Yeah, because she's lived like this full life, and she's very educated, and I don't see how she maintains being naive at 43.
Well, I don't know if unicorns are necessarily, you know, a naive thing. Maybe people just like the unicorn aesthetic.
She is naive, and unicorns, I think, come along with her. She thinks life is magical.
Oh, okay.
You know.
Well. Yeah.
And I don't mean in the sense like she practices magic. I mean, like, she thinks everybody loves one another and life is great.
Hmm.
She's my exact opposite.
Yeah, I don't even know what to say to that.
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah, that's bizarre.
All right, so tonight we got a guest back on. We got William Pullen on again.
Yes.
And we're going to talk this time. William Pullen is from UFO for real.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk this time kind of about the beginnings of UFOlogy, ufology.
Yeah, ufology.
And dealing a lot with Roswell and the initial studies of Roswell. And, you know, you got to reintroduce these things to whole new generations. And that's us. Come on back.
Nutrition Center, we keep our produce pure by bathing our fruits and vegetables with water from our multi-stage purification system, leaving it fresh, clean, and crisp. Fresh from the farm to your family's table. Orchard Nutrition Center, Cypress Square Shopping Center, Reading.
When you're looking to add a pet to your family, Haven Humane Society is a place to start. Hi, this is Mark from Haven to tell you that shelter pets make the best pets. With kittens, puppies, dogs, cats, bunnies, guinea pigs, hamsters, snakes, birds, and more, Haven has a pet that is the right fit for your family. We also provide education, training, spaying and neutering, dog licensing, and so much more. If you're looking for a way to help, our amazing volunteers have fun with the animals while helping us to save lives. For more information, call 241-1653 or visit havenhumane.org. Like us on Facebook and follow our progress as we work towards a day with no more homeless pets in the North State.
Astronaut Bob the Drop here. There's been a lot of talk about water found on Mars. Why would you go all the way to Mars for water when we have the best tasting water at Mount Shasta? It comes from our protected springs and is delivered right to your door.
Great landing, Bob.
Hey, where are you going with that? Those Martians are stealing my water. Guess we have some new customers. And anyone can get Mount Shasta spring water if they call us at 1-800-922-6227.
Pure and simple. Naturally, the best Mount Shasta spring water.
Hi, Wade Riggs with DJ Bobette. We are back for our sixth annual Cool April Nights Cool Cruise 2018.
Live from the Red Lion Hotel in Redding, California, and featuring awesome classic cars and tricked-out vehicles.
You'll have the best seats in the house with our multi-camera system featuring our wireless HD street cam that puts you in the cruise.
Broadcasting live on Shasta County Community Access Television, SCAC-TV, and on KGEC-TV, Channel 26.
You can also watch the cruise on your computer, tablet, or smart device online here at KCNR1460.com.
However you catch it, you won't want to miss the Cool Cruise. So join us along with special guests on Friday, April 27th.
Webcast kicks off at 4 p.m. with DJ Bobette playing your favorite cruise tunes.
With the cruise starting at 6:30.
Cool Cruise 2018, Friday, April 27th. Sponsored by Palomar Builders, Orchard Nutrition Center, Mary's Pizza Shack, and KCNR 1460.
For more information, visit RiggsMediaConsulting.com.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? Every week, there's a new chapter. To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program, Sunday morning at 9 a.m. on KCNR 1460 AM with your hosts, Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
At Orchard Nutrition Center, we strive to be the gatekeepers of 100% organically grown produce. Our goal is to provide you and your family with produce that is fresh from the farm and pure 100% organically grown. Orchard Nutrition Center, Cypress Square Shopping Center, Reading.
Headline edition, July 8, 1947. The Army Air Forces has announced that a flying disc has been found and is now in the possession of the Army. Army officers say the missile, found sometime last week, has been inspected at Roswell, New Mexico, and sent to Wright Field, Ohio, for further inspection.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland. Soon to be joined by our guest, William Pullen, who we will... You know, talk about Roswell in the beginning of the
We will UFOs. Interview him.
But during the break, we had a hater.
Yes.
You know, I have to throw out that we had a hater. You know, I don't get a lot of haters because I don't leave the house much. You know, but.
Bah.
Oh, William.
Hello.
I didn't hater. That's outrageous.
I didn't know that. I didn't know that you had actually called in yet.
No, I had. I was listening to what was transpiring. And I heard you use the word hater. I thought, uh-oh, here we go.
Oh yeah, no. We had somebody call in and basically tell the engineer that it took him 9 minutes to turn off the show and that our show sucked.
Yeah, which is odd because we're normally greeted with placid, doughy acceptance.
So right. Yeah. You know.
It was a little different.
All right. So how are you doing, William?
How are you generally doing?
Really good. You know, we have just been booming around here and growing, and I'm loving it. And I, from what I can see, you have been too.
Excellent. Yeah. I had an influx of members the first time you guys had me on the show, and it's been a good thing. So I've just been keeping busy with UFO stuff and doing my thing. So, you know, So you guys are going to discuss the beginnings of ufology.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So, you know, I really kind of, you know, I know in a lot of situations this is maybe old news for some people, but I really feel, you know, as each generation comes in, and especially our show, we haven't really covered it yet, the sort of beginnings and the core and where did this exactly start, that I thought maybe we would cover that today.
That's a wise man. Well, I mean, the modern history of ufology kind of generally started maybe, you could say, maybe from the mid-30s to the early 40s. There were some sightings during World War II. There was the UFO wave of 1947. The Roswell incident was a part of that. And then after that, investigators, which weren't affiliated with the military or the government, started looking into that. So that kind of was the impetus toward the term ufology or ufologist. You know, and then since then it's kind of blossomed, and there's been a whole wide genre of events that involve UFOs. There's cattle mutilations, abductions, craft retrievals. It's a lot to cover, and it's almost impossible for one person to be really well versed in everything. It's that diverse nowadays. So
yeah. Why do you think the mainstream picked up on it so much? Because there was definitely a pushback from media. You know, media was not exactly, you know, loving UFOs as far as stories are concerned. Maybe right in the beginning, but since then they've really sort of laughed them off. Yet it seems to be constantly growing with mainstream audiences. You know, what's the pull there? You think it's because everybody's had an experience, or you think it's just their imaginations running wild?
I think it's a little of both. I mean, in the 1947 wave, the media was reporting sightings of flying discs, as they were called at the time. And the Kenneth Arnold sighting happened a few weeks before Roswell. Roswell occurred, and then right after that, the military/government tried to stamp down on the media coverage of UFOs. So they kind of established either a non-reporting of the phenomenon or a ridicule of it. So it wasn't taken seriously. And every so often, you'll see a media outlet actually give it some objective coverage. But you're right. Usually when you see a UFO story in the media, the reporters running the story come off as objective, and then toward the end of the story, the laughter comes in, they make light of the story. They really don't take it seriously like they would some other news event. So,
yeah, when the government and the media swats these down, you know, it always makes me think of, you know, Shakespeare, "Methinks you protest too much." I mean, if they're going to report on it, you know, why would you report on it and then slap it down? It's like the news is not exactly in the business of doing comedy stories, yeah. You know, so why would they go to the effort to report on something to knock it down?
Yeah, that's true. That's another take. Yeah, you're right.
And so it seems very propaganda.
That is a subjective question. I mean, I think there's a whole list of reasons why they may be occurring. I mean, at least here in Texas, local media outlets don't cover UFO stories until it's sweeps week, and then they do. Other than that, you won't hear about it at all. So maybe a subject matter that people are attracted to in general, but the media won't run a story on it until they need some higher ratings, until it's sweeps week, and then they run a UFO story assuming, okay, people are going to tune in, and then after that, they just kind of let it go. But it's a recurring phenomenon. It's happening all the time, but it's not recorded. It's not reported in mainstream media. You have to really dig and look for stories and see what's actually happening, as opposed to what's being reported or not reported. So
yeah, I never made the sweeps week association, but that makes a lot of sense. It does that they sort of save their.
Yeah, it really does. It's outrageous. I mean, sweeps week here in Texas, you'll see stories about chupacabra, about ghosts, Bigfoot, anything paranormal in nature.
So what I'd like to see on my regular news is what they play during sweeps week in
pretty much,
Texas.
Yeah, I do that for three of us. Yeah, that's right, yeah. Yeah, I would eat that up all the time. So.
Yeah, yeah.
Another UFO story? Okay, yeah.
I don't know about there, but 50% of the local news here is about the weather.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah, here it's weather or local sports, and that's it.
Local sports, yeah, right on. All right, so, you know, we got about 5 minutes up until the commercial break here. So,
okay.
So a lot of us associate Roswell as ufology, you know, hitting the mainstream. But there for a second there, you actually cited a couple of sightings prior to that.
Yes.
A couple of, and I realized that throughout history, you know, there might be stories and lore and stuff passed down and stuff, but we're really kind of trying to base this off of the media. And so are these two stories prior to Roswell, you can remind us what those are. Are those really sort of the beginnings of UFO hitting the media?
You could say that. I mean, the media covered, there were some sightings prior to World War One that were covered in the media. But it's tough to legitimately investigate those sightings because the journalistic standard back then was pretty weak. You couldn't tell they were making up a story just to sell papers. But there was a mass sighting in 1942 over Los Angeles, just after Pearl Harbor occurred. And then the Kenneth Arnold sighting, which was in June of 47, those were widely covered by the media. And both cases are still unexplained. There's some explanations thrown out there, but they're still relatively unexplained to this day. So, but they those two sightings garnered a lot of media coverage at the time.
And was
as
this
did Roswell too?
And was this at a time where we could put a little more stock into the media, or was this close enough in history to the point where we could research some of the sources and put our own stock into it?
I think you're just getting into the time frame where you can put some stock into it. There's just enough. It's just close enough in time where you can cold case backtrack the information and track down some sources. And certainly in the Los Angeles side, you had the military officials that were witness to it because they opened fire on this unidentified flying object in the air. So, So there's a lot of credible testimony to both cases, although the Arnold side is a single witness case, which is problematic. But and then going to Roswell, Roswell was covered in the media west of, say, the St. Louis area. All the major, it was carried on the AP. And then the story broke, and then the day after, the Army Air Force debunked the story, and then the story just disappeared until late 1978. So that was when the media, government slash military stamped down on it, and that story just was unheard until late 70s. So,
you know, it's easy to think that one side of this really sort of outside of ufology and everything was that the government said, look what happened when, gosh, I don't know what year it was, but when War of the Worlds was broadcast and look how people reacted, we should probably, you know, keep a lid on
this. Yeah, yeah. It was in the 30s, yeah. Yeah, the whole Orson Welles deal, yeah. Yeah, that's been a reason that's been thrown around, the public's reaction to, what would the public's reaction be to actual extraterrestrial contact here on Earth? Would there be a mass panic? Yeah, they all heard that argument too.
You know, a lot of people, and I don't mean to get too political here, but I'm just going to throw this out there. And that is, you know, we're used to being on top of the food chain. And people, if somebody else came out higher up on the food chain, people would like to say that they wouldn't freak out. You know, but if you look at what's going on with changing dynamics and race and stuff like that in this country, even on that sort of microcosm of a level, people have been kind of freaking out. So it's like, I get the argument of we maybe shouldn't tell people that they are no longer anywhere near the top of the food chain.
No, I couldn't agree more. Yeah, I think human beings are inherently uncomfortable with not being at the top.
Right.
We see ourselves as the apex of evolution. So some other race came here that clearly was more advanced than us, there'd be a large section of the population across the world that would be very uncomfortable with that. It's not just on a personal level, but it would be disturbing on an ideological standpoint, politically, religiously. There's a whole dynamic there that is unknown until this actually occurs. Yeah.
All right. Well, we're coming up on our first commercial break here. You're listening to William Pullen here on Radio Wasteland. When we come back, we're going to dig into Roswell.
It's Show and Shine time, proudly hosted by Palomar, your ultimate home, and Make-A-Wish. Two great events happening April 21st, 2:30 to 4:30 p.m., and April 24th, 11 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. Come see the classic cars at Salt Creek Heights Subdivision. That's 4046 Haleakala Avenue from Central Reading. Take Highway 299 West to Eureka Way, right on Buenaventura Boulevard, and then just straight ahead a quarter mile to the entrance. And during this Show and Shine, three big cash prizes. $100 for third place, $200 for second place, and $500 for first place. Palomar Builders, your ultimate home, invites you to come meet the Make-A-Wish kids on the April 21st event. You can learn how you can help Palomar's Build for Hope campaign as we help children with critical illnesses. These Show and Shines are going to be a blast. Don't miss them. And don't miss all of the classic cars. Again, it all happens April 21st, 2:30 to 4:30 p.m. and April 24th, 11 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. at Salt Creek Heights Subdivision with Palomar Builders, Make-A-Wish, and you. We'll see you and all of the classic cars there.
Analog living in a digital world. Every week on Boomer Tech Radio, we offer up the latest tech news you can use. Hi, it's Bob Belongi. It's even easier to listen to the show now that we're on iTunes. You'll find our archives and articles at boomertechradio.com, and the show is streamed live at kcnr1460.com. We review the latest goodies, gadgets, and gizmos, and make sure you are up to date on the latest tech trends. Boomer Tech Radio, Saturday from noon to 2 p.m. on KCNR 1460, and now available as a podcast on iTunes.
This is Carl Bott, and I'm with Dan Scott of Eagle Eye Painting, and Dan's doing all the painting in our new studios. Dan, you've been doing this for 20 years. What should people be looking for at this time of the year?
Peeling paint, moisture in their wood, moisture in the stucco would be a couple things to look for, and then they know it's time to paint.
You've got, with 20 years in the business, where are some of the places you've been working at around here?
I've painted Riverview Golf and Country Club, SJ Denim, Mark Street Steakhouse. Those are just a few I've painted.
The thing I like about Eagle Eye Painting is when you give an estimate, That estimate stays there. It doesn't change halfway through the job.
No, there's no variation in my proposal. I have confidence in my numbers, and I stick to those. DanScottPainting.com, 530-400-5152. Eagle Eye Painting, a clear vision of craftsmanship. Eagle Eye Painting.
If you're looking into a remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio, there's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite and Things.
Now, this is Carl Bott. Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days while Linda and I went on vacation. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Salato, broker and co-owner of The Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite and Things. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard, Estate Granite and Things, or visit us at estategranite.com.
It is tough establishing a new business in California, and even tougher if you're trying to understand the multiple laws that seem to have no other reason but to make your life harder. How do you deal with those legal hurdles while trying to build this new business or expand an existing one? By having your own qualified expert assist you. Douglas Wright, attorney at law, specializes in business law and is well versed on the morass of legal questions facing a California business. Douglas Wright, a professional corporation, 530-243-6000 or douglaswrightlaw.com.
Welcome back to Radio Wasteland and our guest, William Pullen, and we are about to discuss Roswell. And for our listeners and for myself, can you give us a rundown on exactly what we think happened there?
The dates are argued about to this day, but it seems that early in July of 1947, a gentleman by the name of Mac Brazel, who was a foreman of the Foster Ranch, which was northwest of Roswell, came across a debris field of wreckage on his ranch. He collected some of this debris, evidently held onto it for a short period of time, and ended up traveling to Roswell to report to the Sheriff George Wilcox. in the early 40s, this was before the interstate system was established, so it was really an effort to travel the 60, 70 miles from the ranch to Roswell. So he reports to the sheriff. The sheriff doesn't know what to think of the record, so he contacts the base intelligence officer at the Roswell Army Airfield, Jesse Marcel. Marcel goes with Mr. Brazel and takes the counterintelligence officer, Captain Sheridan Cabot, and the three of them go to the refield. Because it's only in the day, they don't get there till late in the evening, so they have to stay the night, and the next morning they discover this stuff. And
William, can I interrupt for 1 second? This already proposes something to me that I never thought of before. And, you know, when you think of UFOs, you think of either aliens or you think of either experimental craft. And for all these years, I've thought maybe Roswell was an experimental craft, but the timeline that you're saying basically is saying that it wasn't, that the base didn't actually really know about it until this guy told him about it.
Yes, evidently this thing crashed. The base wasn't aware of it until he brought the records to them.
Oh, totally interesting. Okay, so the inspector comes out to the debris site.
Yeah, the three gentlemen come out, and then they bring some of the records back to the base. And the base commander, Colonel William Blanchard, he asked his public information officer to release a statement to the press, the two radio stations and two newspapers in Roswell, that the Roswell Army Airfield had recovered a flying disc, the wreckage of it. So you could make the statement that that's the only time in U.S. history the military actually admitted to recovering a flying saucer.
Hmm.
And as time went on, that same day, Marcel was ordered to fly the wreckage to Carswell Air Force Base to report it to his superior, Roger Ramey, who was the head of the 8th Air Force, which the Roswell Army Airfield was under that command. And from that point on, Ramey instigated the cover-up. The story was debunked, and basically the entire airfield was thrown under the bus. And the story of a weather balloon was put up, and the incident disappeared until, like I said, the late 70s.
And so in the late 70s, really was sort of the renaissance of the Roswell and ufology, and that was with Kevin Randall?
Ufology had grown through the years and the decades, but Roswell wasn't known about. It was discussed in one book. The dates were wrong. The military pretty much made that story disappear. And then Jesse Marcel, who was up in age and retired, was interviewed by Stanton Friedman in the late 70s. And that's when the Roswell case started to progress. And eventually in the late 80s, Don Schmidt and Kevin Randall joined the investigation. For my money, I adhere to Randall's interpretations because he's very objective and dispassionate. He looks at it very coldly as opposed to wanting it to be alien or wanting it to be a no other balloon or what have you. So, but it blossoms in them. The issue with Roswell is a twofold. One, the vast majority of the first hand witnesses are gone because it's 1947. And two, there's no records of the craft that we've come across. We haven't recovered anything. So it's all testimony and very little paperwork. But the testimony, the vast majority of it, is from military personnel, which leads it to be, it can be taken in a much stronger light because of that. So
I feel like people are convinced that the wreckage from Roswell, let's say it's alien, people seem to be convinced that it was taken to Area 51. Why do they think that? Is there any factual thing pointing to that, or are we just assuming? Or
there are many individuals that are convinced that it went to Area 51. It's been spread around. Initially, the records was taken to Wright Field, which eventually became Wright Patterson Air Force Base when the Air Force became a separate entity from the Army. That's where it was ordered to be flown. So it's kind of a safe assumption that the rest of the records was probably set there also. Which is one of the holes in the military's explanation, because if it's a weather balloon, that's a pretty mundane piece of machinery.
Yeah.
So why would you go send it to Wright Field to be reverse engineered if it's just a weather balloon?
Everybody likes balloons.
Yeah. It's a pretty special balloon, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But some people have thought that the records may have been spread out over the years, and some may be at Air 51. And I'm not convinced that it's there. I think possibly some of the ideas we gained from the wreckage may have influenced our technology we tried to apply to our aircraft, our secret aircraft. But my personal view is that the wreckage is too far advanced for us to figure out.
Well, it seems like if I'm understanding the timeline that you just told me, that it, shortly after this, the Air Force separated from the Army.
Yes, I was in late 47. That was the, I believe it was part of the National Security Act that Truman signed in late 47, which established the NSA, the CIA as a separate entity. It also separated the Air Force from the Army.
That kind of seems a little coincidental with a lot of the cover-up stuff that people tend to focus on ufology and the cover-up of aliens and UFOs. A lot of the things that were started just then that you mentioned seem to kind of go hand in hand with that.
They do. I mean, that Security Act was a bill that was stuck in Congress for several months. Politically, it was at an inroad. It wasn't progressing. It didn't start to progress until mid-July 47, which is strange timing if you think about it. And then it passed quickly through,
right,
which makes one think, okay, what events happened in July 47 to make this bill that's stuck in Congress all of a sudden passed with flying colors?
Yeah.
In Roswell? I mean,
absolutely. A couple weeks ago, we had on a remote viewer talking about, you know, the government funding remote viewing, and we know that happened. And, you know, I was talking to Sean, and I was saying there's, you know, the government and the military, you know, they're pretty straight-laced guys that don't want to waste their time or their money. And it kind of seems to me like, if somebody didn't come in and say, hey, let's study remote viewing and here's all my statistics, they wouldn't have hucked money at it. And so that kind of feels the same way for UFOs and ufology. If somebody didn't come in and say, look, here's something to be scared of, let's make a change, you know, they wouldn't make the change.
Yes, yeah, that's logical. Yeah, that follows. Yeah, I mean, the military has procedures for everything they do. And examining the Roswell events, it comes off like the military came across something they weren't prepared for. They were flying by the seat of their pants. And some of the other crash retrieval cases that have occurred since Roswell, the military conducted itself in a much more organized manner, as if Roswell was the one-off, and then they learned how to handle those things for Roswell, and ever since then they've been able to follow procedure much more smoothly. But Roswell comes off as very like a one-time deal or first-time deal.
Absolutely. The idea of this investigator or even the base commander, you know, flying solo to tell the press that they found a flying saucer by today's standards just seems ridiculous. That his commanders weren't aware or part of this. But at the time, maybe it does make sense.
Yeah, it does make sense because some debunkers will say, well, Blanchard, he fouled up, and this would have cost him a great deal as far as potential ranking increases in the Army and this and the other, but this didn't hurt him at all. He ended up being a four-star general. He became Vice Air Force Chief of Staff at the Pentagon. So his career blossomed after this. So it clearly wasn't a mistake, him releasing the press release. I mean, the cover-up was started despite his actions by higher-ups. But it did still, despite some of the testimony not holding up over the years, there's still a big core of evidence that makes this case a pretty strong case through the years. And it's kind of a flag bearer for the rest of ufology.
Yeah.
I mean, a layperson's heard of Roswell, so.
Right. All right. Well, we're coming up on another commercial break here, but it does always add massive credibility to me when military personnel are the ones backing this up. You're listening to Radio Wasteland. Come on back for our guest, William Fuller.
Spring is springing, the trees are leafing, the birds are chirping, and temperatures are on the rise. So, your heater's probably the last thing on your mind, right? Fact is, right now is the perfect time to prepare for next winter. Through June 8th, SST Oil is offering 20% off maintenance and 10% off parts with an additional 5% discount for our veterans. SST Oil Services monitor and Toyotomi brands of heaters and water heaters. When you call SST at 241-1167, ask about early bird discounts on kerosene May through July. SST Oil on Windham Lane in Redding, 530-241-1167.
This is Newt Gingrich with a message of hope to every conservative in California. Help is on the way. Recent statewide polls show conservative Republican businessman John Cox has now surged to second place right behind Gavin Newsom. That's happened for two reasons. Not only has John Cox become the clear favorite of Republicans, but his insurgent campaign is also winning over independents. Why? Because they agree with John Cox on the two most pressing issues facing Californians, repealing Jerry Brown's sanctuary state and his $52 billion gas tax increase. I know John Cox, and believe me, leaders around the country are excited about the conservative resurgence he's leading in California. If you've had enough of the corrupt Sacramento establishment and are ready to fight back, then I urge you to join with me, Newt Gingrich, in supporting conservative champion John Cox for governor.
Paid for by John Cox for governor 2018.
Hot cars!
And cool April nights.
The North State Signature event roars back into Reading April 21st through the 29th. See classic cars at Show and Shine throughout the area all week long with the annual Friday night cruise down Hilltop Drive on the 27th and the big car show at the Reading Civic on Saturday the 28th. Awards, food, music, dances, why it's more fun than two teens in a rumble seat at the drive-in. Get the whole schedule by visiting CoolAprilNights.com. Shine up your ride, put on your dancing shoes, and be part of Cool April Nights April 21st through the 29th.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the perfect fit of your favorite pair of jeans, the nap-inducing powers of your trusty recliner, and the tried-and-true performance of a new Rood home heating system. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance today, 530-221-2642. At Alliance Heating and Air, everybody calls us.
When you need prompt, dependable transportation, you can count on Reading Yellow Cab. At Reading Yellow Cab, they have a deep commitment to serve the public and provide dependable first-rate service. Whether you're heading out for a night on the town, need to get to work, or you're just running errands, relax and let Reading Yellow Cab do the driving for you. Reading Yellow Cab is your number one choice for reliable, friendly transportation and clean, comfortable cabs. Give them a call at 222-1234. That's 222-1234.
My flying saucer, where can you be? Since that sad night that you sailed away from me, my flying
saucer. All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland and our guest William Pullen. We're talking about sort of the beginnings of ufology and Roswell. But now with us coming up on the end of the show, I had a couple of questions to ask you about. What do you make of these astronauts who are coming out saying that they've seen things and that they know things?
I mean, these are trained observers. A lot of them are Air Force personnel that retired to join NASA. Educated gentlemen. I think that's pretty strong testimony. I mean, They're aware of the configuration of craft that are flying, whether it's Soviet or Chinese. They can recognize a spent rocket booster. So if they see something they can't recognize, these are not individuals that are prone to flights of fancy. So I take their testimony face value. I really do.
Yeah, my wife and I religiously watch Jeopardy, and I learn little fact snippets on there. And something like in 2017, there were 30,000 astronaut applicants, and they took like 8% of them.
Yeah, so the best of the best make it.
Right, yeah. And so like when I hear a guy like Buzz Aldrin is basically out there saying that something's going on out there, it's kind of like to me, that's a smoking gun, kind of, you know.
Yeah, I mean, obviously some claims are can be construed a little bit out there, but I mean, as a general rule, when a pilot or an astronaut makes a sighting, it's something he can't recognize. Generally, these pilots know what all earthly craft looks like. They're trained to be aware of, okay, that's a MiG, that's a B-52 or what have you. And when they see something they can't recognize, well, these are not guys that just panic. They're very calm and observant. And so when they see something they can't recognize, yeah, that's pretty strong testimony. Very strong.
Yeah, and how about this one? What do you make of disclosure or this sort of concept of oozed disclosure? This idea that they're slowly disclosing things to us, or that disclosure will ever happen? You know, what's your take on any of that? Do you think that's even happening, or do you think they got it locked down as tight as ever? You know, some people even have the attitude that that science fiction movies are kind of trying to get us ready for this. You know,
I heard that.
Which, you know, I mean, seems a little out there, but I mean, maybe not. I don't know.
My own personal take is that there's no motivation for the military or the government to disclose. The government certainly doesn't do anything unless there's something to their advantage. And it wouldn't be to their advantage to admit that they've been lied to it for 70 years.
Well, I mean, that private industry might come along and prove that they were doing it.
Yeah, that's a possibility. And I've heard the argument for slow disclosure. The issue I have with that is that it begs the question, okay, who's deciding the rate of disclosure? That would be an individual saying, well, the society is not ready for full disclosure, so I'm going to slow this rate down until they're ready.
Right, yeah.
Which means they, for some reason, they feel they are able to gauge our readiness as a society. That sounds like something governments do. That troubles me.
Yeah, totally. I mean, like Putin and Trump can't get along for a conversation, but of course they agree that we all shouldn't know about UFOs. I find it hard to believe that all of our governments have gotten together and that this is the one thing that they agree on. They don't agree on nuclear weapons. They don't agree on chemical weapons. They don't agree on freedoms and amnesties, but they agree on the aliens. You know, it seems a little abstract.
Yeah, our government is a little bit dysfunctional, just a little bit. So, yeah. But I just, yeah, disclosure, I think, just won't happen, at least from government military sources. I mean, it's really up to investigators and individuals to find the evidence and keep digging and keep pushing for it. But we're not going to get it from them. So, that's just my personal take. So.
I think I agree with you. I think that your personal take is my personal take. I think I'll adopt it. So,
you're a wise man. No, it's just there have been scenarios and times in the past where they could have disclosed and they haven't done it yet. And I don't see any reason why they would do it now. I mean, I don't know. And I wonder what the rest of the world feels, because it makes me think, okay, do other governments know any of the answers, or is it just the United States and Russia? I mean, which governments have more information than the other ones? Are we all unawares, really, of what's going on? That's an interesting question that I don't know if any of us can answer. So.
Right. All right. Yeah. So we're coming up on the end of the show here. I want to make sure we got some time to talk about you and what you got going on. So what's in the future here for you?
I keep working on my group, U for Real, Historical Review, and running local meetings here in San Antonio, Texas. I got one coming up on Wednesday, and then looking forward to making my yearly trip to Roswell for the festival and visiting with friends and researchers and just
when is that?
Diving into the UFO issue. It's a lot of fun for me, even though it's an obsession.
Yeah.
I really admit, but it's a fun obsession.
So. When is so your yearly trip to Roswell coincides with a festival that they have there?
Yeah, the Roswell UFO Festival is usually either really late June or early July, depending on by the weekend lands on the calendar. It's a 3-day event. It celebrates the Roswell incident. They have a whole line of speakers lined up at the UFO Museum there in Roswell and other more family-oriented events that are all go along with that. So it's a big draw. It's a big cash cow for the town. It's one of the major festivals in the country that celebrates this UFO phenomenon. So it's a lot of fun just to reconnect with friends and on a face-to-face basis as opposed to social media or email. So,
right. I bet you I could talk my wife into going to do that.
I think that would be a good endeavor. Yeah, we could discuss things one-on-one.
So. Totally. What do I bring, a motorhome? I mean, surely the hotels are all booked up.
The hotel rooms might be filled up by now. I don't know.
Yeah.
So,
All right, yeah, so where do people find out about you?
You can look me up at You For Real, a historical review. It's a Facebook group and a Facebook page, but the group is where I do my actual work as far as reports and sightings of that matter. The page, I just advertise other individuals' work on Facebook and give them some free advertisement and just help them out as best I can. And
a little more of a news feed.
That's
where,
where I'm found. Yeah.
So in the group, what can people expect from you?
Video snippets. I do summaries of classic cases, post book reviews, profiles of individuals of note, poll questions, which are some of my favorite posts. I just post a question for the members to wrap their heads around, and as a sole editor, I try to have the cordial exchange of ideas in a calm, objective manner in the group, as opposed to having to get politicized and nasty like it can get.
Right.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, it definitely can. Social media, man.
Yes, yeah.
Definitely not the... All right, well, William, it's been great having you on. I really enjoy having you on. This has been the second time for you, and hopefully there's a third in the works somewhere in the future.
I'm open. Thanks, gentlemen. Great to be back on.
Yeah. All right, you've been listening to William Pullen here on Radio Wasteland.
Take him to Memphis. I took him down to North Carolina. Sleepy little town down there called Mayberry. Mayberry got a sheriff. Sheriff named Andy. And Andy got a jail. And in his jail on a Saturday night, you can find our leader down in Mayberry. In the jail. You know who I'm talking about? You know who I'm talking about, let me tell you. O-T-I-S. Oh, this is the very best. O-T-I-S.
The news is brought to you on KCNR, Shasta, Redding, by Tobacco and Brew. Come see their newly remodeled store at 2143 Hilltop Drive in Redding, Tobacco and Brew.